I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Luke chapter number 24. I have two major points or divisions in a message, if you would call them that, if you were doing a homiletically correct expository type message. But this is not going to be necessarily a homiletic expository type message, even though I might expound some things. But the two points are basically, one is found in Luke chapter 24, and the other one is found in Jeremiah chapter 20. One of them deals with exposition of the scripture. The other deal with the execution of service. And I think when you get those two things right, it'll stir a fire in your soul. It'll call you to burn inside out. And you'll have to do something for the Lord. And it'll get those dying embers stirred up and stoked and fired up, ready to go for the Lord. Luke chapter 24, if you will, stand with me. We're going to read a portion of the scripture that is here that one of my favorite stories, post-resurrection stories, is found here in Luke chapter number 24. And we'll pick up in verse number 13 and read through this chapter. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass during these days? And he said unto them, what thing? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, thank you again this Lord's day and that you've given us. And Lord, I know it's not Sunday, it's not the day we call the Lord's day, but this is the day you've made and it's your day. And we certainly want to honor you in it, bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for, Lord, allowing us to live yet in a free nation, 237 years of independence, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, you help us to realize that it costs. God, you bless us tremendously mightily that we might even in this day and time be able to preach and teach the precious truth of the Word of God. But I pray you help me this morning. I have a lot on my heart, a lot on my mind, a lot, Lord, that needs to be said. And Lord, I want to be able to say it as precisely as you would have me to say it. And Lord, we are thankful and praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I know the young people, the singles, are sleepy and tired. And I'm tired and sleepy. But the point of it is this. I told one of the young fellows, now, if you fall asleep, I know your name. I just might call it and make sure it wake you up. It sends somebody over there to wake you up. And now, I may not do that at Crossroads Baptist Church, but I certainly do it at Hampton Roads in the Baptist Church. And so just be mindful. I'll be watching around a little bit here and there. If I don't fall asleep here, then I'll be able to watch you fall asleep out there. But if you do, I might just walk down and try to wake up a little bit there for this morning. But anyway, with that said, in this post-resurrection story, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were discouraged, a little bit despondent and downcast and really just depressed, because it seemed as if their expectations, their hope, their dreams had been crushed, had been dashed. Here this man, Jesus of Nazareth, he's taught them, preached to them, told them what was going to happen. He was going to raise the third day. Now it's the third day. And they said, we haven't seen him. And so they're walking along. And so he had told them many times. Now, he had told them over and over again. He said, listen, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be mistreated. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. But on the third day, I'm going to be raised up. Now, he told them that throughout his time of earthly ministry with them and time and throughout all the gospel. And so the third day that occurred, he had risen from the grave. And so now these ladies, Mary Magdalene and others, they go to a grave site there and go to the tomb. And they find that it's empty. The stone has been rolled away. And they said, the angel said, listen, he's not here. Says he's risen as he said. And he reminded them what Jesus had said to all of the disciples. He said, this on the third day, I'm going to rise up. And they had forgotten about that. So the ladies in this story in Luke chapter 24, the ladies go and they tell the apostles. And verse 11 says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And so the men, the apostles, the disciples, the other followers, they didn't believe that these ladies, when they said that Jesus has really risen indeed. And so now, because they didn't believe them, in verse number 13 that we read there, you find that you have these two disciples. They're walking, they're on their way to this village called Emmaus, that's a little bit north of Jerusalem, some 60 furlongs or so. And they're walking along and they're talking, kicking up dust. And yeah, he said that he was going to rise the third day. And I don't know what happened. We really believed him, and we thought he was going to be the one that was going to redeem Israel. And I don't know what happened. And here comes this stranger come along. Hey, fellas, what's going on? What's all the discussion about? Why are you walking along like this and with these communications and you're sad? Notice he says here in verse number 15. And it came to pass that while they communed, verse 15, they communed together. Notice, and they reasoned. They were just trying to figure out what was going on, what had happened. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But the eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Now, the way they were walking indicated that they were sad. And as they were communicating, Jesus came and said, what's going on? Why are you sad? What are these communications? And one of them, whose name was Philip, listen, said, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you realize what is happening in Jerusalem? Don't you know that this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that claimed to be the Messiah, the anointed one, don't you know that he died, he's buried, and this is the third day, and he said he's going to raise up again? This man, he was mighty in word. He was mighty indeed. And when he spoke, it says the crowds were astonished at his doctrine, because he spoke as man, not as a man, but he spoke with one that had authority. Say, he didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees, and say that, but, and we trusted, says down in verse number 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, this is the third day, he says down in verse number 21. And so now they were despondent, they were sad because their hopes had been dashed. Now, this is what literally had happened. The disciples had lost their focus. They had lost their confidence in the word of God, all that Christ had said. They had lost their hope. Their dreams were dashed. Their expectations were gone because they had forgotten the words of the Lord. See, there is powerful efficiency in the word of God. Listen, it'll stir your soul. It'll stoke a fire in your soul that, listen, you can't get rid of. It'll get down in your bones like Jeremiah said, and you can't shake it. And you want to get those soul fires rekindled and stirred up. See, as Christians, we get just like the disciple on the road to Emmaus. Sometimes we get discouraged. We get despondent. This past few days, I've had a great time at the COVID conference, but I had several, two or three just discouraging things that a phone call here and something happened here. I'm like, Lord, help us, God. I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to get prepared. I don't need this week. But you know what? I found out the word of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. And so they were downcast and despondent. And they needed their soul fires to be rekindled. They needed the smoldering embers to be restoked. And listen, they needed that little smoldering, simmering, dying embers to be stoked. Now, how did Jesus stoke them? Dr. Calvert gave a good definition of stoke. I looked at the word stoked up, and I looked up the word embers as well. And so I was probably thinking like Dr. Calvert. He was thinking like I was. But anyway, the point of it is, I took down his definition, and it says stir up. To feed fuel. That's what stoked me. Now, I grew up in a country area, in an agriculture area, in a house, in a farm, and we had a wood heater. And at night, you had to stoke that thing. You had to keep that fire going all night. So in the morning, when you get up, if it's 10 degrees outside or 30 degrees outside, it's still warm because you put a big old piece of oak wood in there and you stoke it and turn the grass down so it don't burn all night. And you stoke it up. You feed the fire. You stir it up. Those embers, blowing pieces of coal or wood, smoldering remains of a fire. And so these 200 old men now, they had lost their spiritual eyesight. And so they're here. Now, imagine this. Jesus in the midst. He come along and sit down beside you. You don't even know it. He's walking along with you. And you don't even know it. Spiritual eyesight is gone. Vision is wasted. Listen, but because their spiritual eyesight was gone, they also had lost their spiritual vitality. Their enthusiasm was gone. It says they walked and they were sad. Now, you ever seen a person that's sad of doing anything much for God? It's excitement, that enthusiasm, that vitality is contagious. Now, I want you to notice here now, they had gone to long explanation. But Jesus said, don't you know what's happening in Jerusalem? Now, I underline this in my Bible. In verse number 19, when he asked that question, and he said to them, what things? He said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass during these days? Now, he said, like, Jesus said, I can imagine saying, fellas, yes. What things? You know what it says? The fact that Christ loved me. He died on an old rugged cross, was beaten and bruised and stripped, shed his blood for me. And he just says, what thing? Just small thing. He says, hey, what thing? He says, I did it for the world. He says, what thing? And then they started telling him all about what had happened in Jerusalem. And he's like, as if he didn't know what had happened at Jerusalem. On Calvary, Golgotha's hill, where he had bled and died for those sad sinners that had forgotten about his word, dragging their feet, kicking up dust. And they had forgotten what he promised them, what he said to them. But he says, what thing I died for you too. They had forgotten it. Now I want you to notice, this is point number one. Look how Jesus stirred up and stoked the smoldering embers. Now, Jesus didn't use psychology. Jesus didn't, listen, he didn't use man's theories. He didn't use some philosophies. He didn't use some sociology. Listen, Jesus didn't even use a God-ordained institution of government to stoke the embers. But when he got finished expounding the scriptures, the embers were stoked, and they were ready to go to work for God because they remembered the word of God. My point is simply this. What Jesus did, he revealed to them the scriptures. It says, as he talked to them, they told the stories. And these women came, they said in verse number 23 and 24. And certain of them came, and we really didn't believe what they said. And said, but we didn't, they said they didn't see him. And of course, we know that they thought it was idle tale. They didn't believe what the women said. And so he said, then Jesus said to them in verse 25, oh, fool. He said, oh, foolish one. He said, oh, slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. He said, oh, little children, oh, foolish one. Now, this was a rebuke, but it wasn't a harsh rebuke. He was just saying, I know that you don't understand. I know that your eyes have been holding. I know that your eyesight is done. I know that you're sad. I know you think I'm not coming back. I know you think I'm dead forever. He said, but I'm alive. I'm right here. And he said, oh, foolish one, oh, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, all that the prophets have said. He said, if you read in the prophets, reading the word of God, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and so entered his glory? He said, doesn't the word of God say, doesn't the scripture say that Christ is going to suffer and he's going to be a suffering servant, but then he's going to rule and reign in a majesty and glory? He said, doesn't the word of God say that? And so Jesus took the word of it. Now, he revealed to them the depth of the riches of the Mosaic law. Now, I'm going to read the scripture because this is what's going to stoke the embers. And so just bear with me as I read some of the word of God. I hope you're not bored with the word of God. Now, the Bible, God's word, is both efficient and it's sufficient. Efficient means that, listen, it has the ability to produce the desired result. Listen, with the minimal effort, waste, or energy. But it's also sufficient. It's adequate. It can meet every need, all the need, all the time, always. God is able to make all grace abound towards you in all ways, in all things, that in everything you might have the sufficiency or all sufficiency for every good work. Listen, he took him to Genesis and told him who Shiloh was, the peacemaker. He said, hey, I'm the only one that can make peace between God and man. Jesus of Nazareth, the one that you think is still in the ground. He took him to Exodus about the Passover. He said, you know that lamb that just pictured me? He said, listen, that pillar in that cloud of in day and pillar five by night. He said, that mercy seat in the sanctuary. He said, that mercy seat where the blood was applied, that propitiation for your soul. He said, that was me. Hey, he said, hey. He took him out of the living. He said, on that great day of atonement, when the blood sacrifice was made, he said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood and only the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. He took him down to the numbers. He said, you know that day when that plague came and Aaron stood between the living and the dead. He said, hey, I am that mediator. I am that go-between. He said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to be testified in due time. He said, that was me. It says, beginning at Moses and all the scriptures. Notice he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, said in verse 27, the things concerning himself. Jesus said, hey, you want to get your ember stirred and your fire stoked and your soul rekindled? Get into the word. Find out about me. And so, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficient, all things may always abound to every good work. He went down to the book of Deuteronomy. He said, hey, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brother, like unto me, unto him, ye shall hearken. He said, that prophet, the one you want to listen to, you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter and James and John was there, and that voice came and said, hey, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. He said, I'm that prophet. And say, when they looked around, said, they saw Jesus on. Hey, he's walking along, they're talking, the road is dusty, and there's They step you a little bit differently. What? Are you the one? You're that prophet? Then he breathed into their ears the secret love of the heart of the Mosaic law. He traced the messianic note through the psalm. He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They think they can fight against God. But he says this. He's about to kiss the son unless he be angry. He said, hey, he said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt not suffer thine holy one to see corrupted. Thou wilt show me the path of life. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And it says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said, he's talking about me. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down my right hand as I make thine enemies thy footstool. He said, all throughout the psalm, he said, he's talking about me. He said, he explained the wisdom that is not of this world. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding has he established the heaven. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down to dew. In whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He said, he was talking about me. He said, you know, Ecclesiastes, listen, after you tried all the world has to offer, and he said, and you find yourself empty. He said, like the Solomon said, empty. He said, vanity of vanity. All is vanity. He said, it's emptiness. It's like chasing soap bubbles. He says, it's like chasing the wind. He says, but you know what Solomon found out? After he tried to live without me, he got into the word of God, got back to where he was, and this is what he said. He said, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He said, hey, this is the whole duty of man. He said in the Song of Solomon, he said, he's the rose of Sharon, and he's the lily. He's the lily of the valley, not just a valley. He's the lily of the valley with an S. Every valley you find yourself in, he said, there's a lily there, and I'm it. He said, I'm the lovely one. He went down to Isaiah. He said, I'm that child king. The government shall be upon my shoulder. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Surely he had borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Yet we didn't esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, ye are healed. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord have turned everyone his own way. He said, we have turned everyone his own way. But he said, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh. What? So they get nothing. And so he goes on. He said, hey, down in Ezekiel, he's a plant of renown. In Jeremiah, he's a branch of righteousness. He said, in Hosea, he said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. He said, and I'm a God and I'm not a man. I'm the Holy One in the midst of thee. He said, in Amos, he said, I'm the Lion of Rome. He said, listen, surely the Lord would not do anything, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophet. The Lion has roared, who would not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Hey, that'll stir up. Hey, when God speaks and you hear what God said, that'll stir up some things in you. I'm going to take a diversion for a moment, just for a minute. Romans chapter 10 and verse 16 and 17. But before you get there, go to the Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 53 that I just read some scripture from. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed thy report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, Isaiah 53, that's the passage there about the Messiah, about suffering Christ. But then I want you to go to Romans chapter 10, verse number 16. Romans chapter 10. We use this scripture all the time. But I want you to look. Romans chapter 10, verse number 16. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now listen to me carefully. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. In a moment, you know that scripture very probably. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm not going to take time to explain all that. It gives a definition there, or at least a description. He says, for it, by it, the elders obtain a good report. Now, you see that word in Isaiah 53, verse 6, who has believed our report? Then in Romans chapter 16, he says, who has believed our report? And then here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, for by it, that is, by faith, the elders obtain a good report. Now listen to me carefully. It says, if you're going to get stoked and fired up and stirred up, you have to believe what God has said. Now listen, the word report in Isaiah 53 and the word report in Romans chapter 10 and the word report in Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 11, verse 2 is the same word. But it's the same word as hearing. Now look, it literally means this. Who has believed our message? Who has believed the hearing? It means that a messenger received a report from God. He heard and received what God said, and then he delivers that report. And it says, now, so then, faith cometh by. See that word hearing in verse 17? That's the same word as report. Look it up in your concordance. It's the same Greek word as report. It's also then, faith cometh by hearing, or faith coming from a report received from a message that comes from God. And if you're going to have faith to believe what God says, you have to get a message or a report from him. So then, faith cometh by the report or the message communicated from God to man. And if you're going to believe what God said, he said, then faith comes by hearing. And if you're going to hear from God, he said, and hearing the report come from the word of God. So if you're going to hear from God, you got to get a report from God. You got to get a hearing from God, a message from God. And that'll increase your faith. It'll give you faith. It literally means the hearing of us. So then faith comes by a report or a hearing. And the hearing or the report comes by the philosophies of man. It says by the word of God. See, the report that Isaiah was going to deliver was a message he received from God about a suffering Messiah. Now, Luke chapter 24. He went down to Joel. He said, I'm the hope of the people. He went on down to Amos. He said, hey, down to Obadiah. He said, I'm the deliverance upon Mount Zion. He said, Jonah. He said, listen, Jonah was just a, listen. He said, I'm the fulfillment of that which Jonah was but a sign. He said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said in Micah, he said, I'm the ruler in Israel. He said, who's going forth have been from old and from everlasting. He said in Nahum, what do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time, he says. In the back, he says, his glory covered the heavens and earth. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The deep uttered his voice. And listen, it says, the deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands to the anointed. Said, listen, the oceans, the depths, the seas, they lift up their hands to worship God. And so he says, hey, in Zephaniah, he said, I'm the one that brought that pure language, that undivided heart, that they might call upon the name of the Lord to serve him. No, he said, with one consent. He said, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, the king of Israel, even the Lord is in the midst of thee. In Haggai, he said, Be strong and work, for I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. He was the builder of the house of God. In the book of Haggai, it goes on down the book of Malachi, down to Zechariah. He said, listen, in that day, he said, in that day, there shall be one Lord, and his name one. He said, and when they ask you, then listen, then he said, when they ask you and said, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer thee, and said, listen, he said, answer, he said, those which have wounded me, these are the wounds in the house of my friend. He says, in that day, his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. He says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. And he closed out with Malachi. He said, the messenger of the covenant, he's like a refiner's fire. He says, and like a full of soap, he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He says, in Malachi, the son of righteousness shall come with healing in his way. Look at Luke 24. Are you there? You probably are. I'm not. But in Luke chapter 24, and when he finished talking, they came to the village where they were going. Say, listen, hey, look, hey, sir, we didn't get your name, but listen, would you want to come in and eat with us? Come on, we want to hear more about this and more about this story. Come on. Listen, now they're forgetting all about Jesus. They were listening to the stranger, they thought. And they were saying, come on in, sit down and eat. The Bible says in Luke, it said they constrained him. Verse 29. It said, abide with us. If you ask Jesus to come in and sit down with you, he will. And it came to pass that he said that meat and he broke his bread in a certain way, as I suspect. And all of a sudden it says, and their eyes were open. They knew him. He banished all their sight. And then they started to they sit down at the meal, eating. They said, where did it go? Is there something going on inside too? Does it feel like the embers are being stoked? And they started trembling and they started shaking. We can't stay here. We got to go back and tell somebody Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. We got to tell somebody he's alive. And so listen, it said, and listen, said, did not our hearts burn? Hey, while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture. Hey, let me tell you, if you want to burn it in your soul, get into the Word of God. It'll burn in you. You can't get rid of it. Well, exposition, expounding of the scriptures of the Word of God was stoked with fire. That's why I like good old-fashioned, fundamental, expository preaching from the Word of God. I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for my pastoral theology teachers, Dr. Talbert. They taught us homiletics and preaching. Dr. Mike Aylstock, expound the Word of God. Deal with what's there. Exegete it right. Cut it straight. Study it right. So you can preach what's there. To help people be able to understand and apply God's truth to real life situations. But notice, it says, and they rose up the same hour. Now here are these tithes. Now it says, they rose up the same hour. And they're running back to the room. Seems like the fire's been started to a flame. Something's going on. And they say, hey, brethren, that there's a look, listen, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Samuel. And they told us what things were done. Listen, when you get the fire stoked, your eyes will be open. You'll be able to see what COVID's about. You get your fire stoked, it'll open your mouth. You'll start telling others about what's going on. You start telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, and it says in verse number 44, and he said to them, these are the notice words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding. When so far gets stoked, the understanding is open. That they might understand the scriptures. And notice, it says this, the fire fuel, flame blazing, spiritual eyesight restored, enthusiasm and vitality renewed, and it says they were to be witnesses. There on the verse number 51, it says, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him. You get your fire stoked, you understand how to worship God. It says they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Hey, it's a good day to be excited about God. It might be your last one, so you might well go home joyfully, serving Him glad, praising God that you get to sit in the church, you get to live in America, you get to hear preaching of the Word of God. Hey, let's stoke the embers, get stirred up for God. I got about five little preacher fellas from 10 to 14. I'm dragging a couple around this week and they get my hair all gray and bald and all these things. But listen, in time to come, that little 10-year-old, like Dr. Calvin said, and like all you men know, like Brother Ted knows, those little 5-10-year-old boys, one day they're going to be raised up. I remember Kenny when he was 6 years old. He's not six anymore. I remember my son Solomon. He's preaching for me. He's not six. He's 30 now. I remember my son Benjamin. When we went door knocking, 5 years old, 7 years old, 9 years old, they were right there. But listen, they're in the house of God, serving the Lord. Hey, working in the house. Serve the Lord. Hey, get stirred up for God. And I'm teaching the very first verse I taught them is this: study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, a laborer. And they know what every one of those words means. rightly cutting it straight, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, who you labor unto? God. So the saints are stoked. Now my last point, which will be shorter, is this is it. Jeremiah number 20. I had 2 points. The first one is this. Exposition of the scripture will stoke your fire. Execution of your service will stoke your fire. It'll put a burning passion. And I don't have time to look at all the powerful efficiency of the word of God. But I can tell you, it is powerfully efficient. It does what God intends for it to do because God is its author. It's providentially preserved. It's inspired, inerrant. It's alive. As Hebrews 4:12 says, listen, it's protected by God's authorized assembly, the local New Testament church. It's been delivered once unto the saints, never be delivered again. It's been written, and Jesus himself said, listen, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah chapter 20. Now, I'm going to mention this story briefly. Jeremiah chapter 18 and 19, the potter's house. Jeremiah had done what God told him to do. He'd gone out and to the potter's house, gotten a message from God there, delivered the message to the people of Israel, or Judah rather. Israel had been destroyed. Judah now, wicked Zedekiah and other kings there, but he delivered the message, a man by the name of Pasha in Jeremiah chapter 20. He puts Jeremiah in the stock, holding there for a day, trying to bring fear upon him. You find out in Jeremiah chapter 20, he says this. Now God had told Jeremiah in chapter 19, he says, now this is what I want you to do. He said, thus said the Lord, go and get a pot of earthen pot, bottom, verse 1, chapter 19, and take up the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the east gate, and proclaim there the word that I shall tell thee. So he goes and does what God tells him. He says, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, the inhabitant of Jerusalem. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the whichsoever heareth his ear shall tingle. So basically, Jeremiah was just bringing a message of destruction, that Judah was going to be destroyed, they were going to be besieged, Babylon was going to take them over. He said, keep delivering this message. Keep telling this message. I told you from chapter 1, this is the message I want you to take. Jeremiah had done just that. By chapter 18 and 19, he's delivering that message. God said, now listen, I want you to go and break this pot. Look down to verse number 10 of chapter 19. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh the pot of the vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Topheth till there be no place to bury. Jeremiah had done that. Chapter 20, they hated it. Verse 15 says, I pronounce against it because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my word. That's at the end of Jeremiah chapter 19. Very last verse there. Jeremiah had done what God told him. Listen, servants of God. Do what God tells you to do. Jeremiah had done what God commanded him to do. And we're not reading through all the chapters 18 and 19. We don't have time for that. But the issue is this. He did what God commanded him to do. And when he had done it, old pastor locked him up in stock. He was released. Pastor tried to bring fear upon Jeremiah to stop speaking in the name of God. But this is what God said to Pastor through Jeremiah. Look at verse number 3. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pastor brought forth Jeremiah out of the stock. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord has not called thy name Pastor, but Megonisabir. The word literally means terror all around. Fear on every side. See, Pastor, the governor of Judah at that time, that priest, he was trying to bring fear into Jeremiah to make Jeremiah stop preaching what God told him to preach. God says, Jeremiah says, I want you to know something, Pastor. You've not put fear in me. But what I want you to understand is God doesn't see you as Pastor. He sees your name as Megonisabir, which means fear all around, fear on every side. He says, from now on, everywhere you look, you're going to be afraid. Everywhere you turn, you're going to be horrified. And so Jeremiah had done what God told him to do. And when he finished doing what God told him to do, Jeremiah got a little bit down, note verse 7, he said, oh Lord, thou hast deceived me
and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocking me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and scorn because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, God, every time I do what you tell me to do, it seems like judgment coming. I get in trouble and the government come against me and people come against me. God, you deceived me. But God really hadn't. I won't go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, but God told Jeremiah, they're going to be against you, but I'm going to be with you. They're going to fight against you, but they're not going to prevail against you. Now you have to read that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 and 19. But the point of it is, so when Jeremiah realized, Jeremiah said, listen, verse 11, but the Lord is with me. He became so discouraged because of all the persecution that he faced, simply because he was doing what was right. He said in verse number 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearance, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, hey, I'm not going to preach anymore. God, you deceived me, and every time I preach, I get in trouble. I'm going to shut my mouth. Oh, Pastor Denner, hey, God said, thus said the Lord. Now listen to me. He said, I could not stay. 2 points. Proper exegesis and exposition of the scripture will stir a fire in your soul. And then listen to me this. When you execute your service for God that he's given you, it'll put a passion in your soul. That's why my pastor still preaches and teaches about evangelizing the black man. That's why his son, Kenny Ball, still preaches and teaches. Listen, there's a fire. You can't stay. And you try to quit if you want to. If you got any Holy Spirit in you, God will burn you up from the inside out. Father, we thank you. I want to read this, Lord, as we close today. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the habits of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, and its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good is the design, and the glory of God is in. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mind of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened in the judgment, and it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred content. The word of God is what we need to stoke the embers of our lives. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Help us.